changing gears, but not changing the purpose. And the reason I want to say that is because this is freedom, and everybody knows that when we talk about freedom, we talk about things that God wants to reveal in us and the ways that He wants to transform us from the inside out. But one thing that God definitely, I believe, this year wants to do is He wants to raise up an army. I believe that so strong about this year. I believe that us being able to come into what God has called us to do is contingent upon us allowing God to train our hands for war. And there's a significant word that's constantly being said over this year, and I believe it's truthfully a word from God over this year. But one thing I really feel like we have to talk about is, for God's word to be true in our lives, for us to receive it and to allow it to have its full work, things have to happen on the inside of us. Does everybody agree with that? You see so many places in the Bible where men did not get in alignment with God's word. And because they would not line themselves up with God's word and allow God's word to train them and transform them, God's word did not prosper in their life. And that's the truth. We can allow ourselves to miss all that God has for us simply because we don't get in alignment with what God is telling us, and we don't allow God's word to be manifested inside of us and to bear fruit. So we talk about a lot of things about freedom, but I'm going to tell you, we're about to move into the next month, a strategic part of freedom, and it's going to be warfare. And I believe that God is calling us to be a church and to be a people. And I believe that this is a year that God wants to train our hands for war. Because I believe God wants to do some incredible things this year. But if we will not be trained, then we will fail in the battle. If we will not allow ourselves to go through the training process, then when we get to the battle, what we are is not enough. How many of you have ever found that out? You got into a battle, and who you are and what you are is not enough. But what God wants to do in you and transform you into is always enough. He is such a clever God. He is such a strategic God. The Bible says God is a man of war. And I'm going to tell you, nobody does war like God does. Nobody can fight the good fight of faith that God wants to fight through you. But I'm going to tell you, it's contingent upon you getting in alignment with what God is saying this year and allowing it to be manifested in you. Now, I know that sounds a little bit different than what we do with freedom, but I'm going to tell you, I feel like this is a strong word for my life. I feel like it's a strong word for the church. And I feel like it's a strong word for anybody that God is calling them to greater levels of freedom, because when you're set free, God requires of you to do something with that, right? God requires you to set other people free. So there is a whole warfare year that's involved in this year that I'm really excited to see God unfold for us. How many of you have heard this word, this statement this year? We're going to the other side. Anybody ever heard that? Yes. I'm going to tell you, back in October, God started confirming that word into me. He was telling me that, you know what, this is a year. God has told me step by step all the way through, ministry-wise, where we'd be going. And the first one, He said, you're going to walk on water. Then He said, you're going to get in a boat. But God told me last year, He said, next year, we're going to go across that boat, and we're going to land on the other side. And you know what happened when they landed on the other side of that boat? It said everyone that touched Jesus was made whole. I believe that this year that everyone on this side that will obey and that will move into the alignment with God, you'll be made whole. That word whole is spiritually, mentally, physically. It's not just a partial whole or just one part of you whole. It's a spiritual word that means your whole being is made whole in the image that God wanted you to be. And I believe that's what God is offering us this year. God is offering us a season to move to somewhere else that we've never had this opportunity before. You know, God moves in seasons. He's a seasoned God. And I love when we have planting seasons and digging seasons and sowing seasons. But I'm going to tell you, this season right here, this is a strategic moving season. And I believe without a doubt that so many of us are going to get in alignment with the training part of this season, and that God's going to be able to do things He couldn't do last year, He won't do next year, but He will do this year. And that's an exciting thing. It really is. But anytime God has tried to move a generation, a group of people, even a man from one place to another, there has been a training period in that. So as much as this is a year to go to the other side, this is a very important year for us to allow God to train us to be able to handle what comes with us going to the other side. Would everybody agree with that? You don't want to get to that other side and not be able to handle it. You don't want to get to where the enemy is backing you up because you got in over your head. You see that a lot of times in the Bible. Men would not be prepared for what they were facing, and because of that, that enemy backed them all the way up and a lot of times took out their destiny in their life. That is not God's desire for you this year. God's desire is to strategically train us and equip us and to create in us such a warfare-like mentality that when we cross over to that other side, we keep on going. I believe that this year so strong. Tonight, what I'm going to share is, and I want you to understand spiritually what I'm saying, because I feel like there's something that's going to be transferred spiritually that might not come from my mouth. Does that make sense? I believe that this is a night that God is wanting to call some people from to their spirit to connect with Him and rise up. I know when Gideon, and all of the children of Israel, remember they were up on that, they were being attacked and they were being harassed and everything about their life was being stolen. And everything that they had was being robbed from them. And so they were even having to hide up in the hills to even just survive. And the truth is, a lot of us have lived that way. I know in certain areas of my life, the enemy has come at me so hard in certain areas that just to survive, I've had to pack up and move to the hills in some areas. In some areas of my life, I've had to say, okay, if I step out here, there's going to be opposition, and I know there's going to be, so I'm going to do all that I can to not move into a place of opposition with the enemy. Has anybody in that in some areas of your life? I think there's some areas we have great victories, but I'm going to tell you that there are areas that the enemy, I believe, has us backed up a little bit. And He has us in this mentality that if we really start to step out and to press in, that there's going to be such an attack that it's not worth it. So here's where we find Gideon and his army, and just Gideon and the children of Israel. They were being oppressed, pushed back, attacked. So they were barely living. They were barely surviving. They were not being prosperous. I'm going to tell you, in my life, there are some areas I have been barely surviving. I have not been being prosperous in that area. And it's because when we begin to have faith in an area and step out, the enemy is going to come and attack us. But let me tell you something about this year. This is a year for us to go to the other side of that. So there's such an encouragement in that word. There's such faith that comes in that word. There's such a truth that comes in that word. But what we have to know and realize is, just like Gideon, we've got to go through a training period. We have got to allow God to train our hands for war. Gideon was not a man of war. Nothing about his life was a man of war. He was the least of all of the brothers. They were the least of the tribes. The mentality that was in his mind was that God could use anybody probably but him. And he was hiding even what he was doing, and what he was doing was good. But because the enemy had him so oppressed, he was hiding it. That is not God's desire for his people. But I'll tell you, God will let you go through those seasons. God will allow you to go through those seasons. But then you're going to come to a season, just like Gideon came to a day, where God's going to come and say, hey, Gideon, it's time for you to go back out. It's time for you to go out and repossess and reclaim and step into what I'm calling you to step into. That's this year. This year, God is calling us to step into something that is our inheritance. It is what God wants us to do. It is how He wants us to live. This year is that year, but we've got to make a decision to do what Gideon did. When Gideon got ready to go and attack, when God called Gideon and he said, this is the time, and I want you to know this is the year, Gideon blew a horn. Do you know that? He blew this trumpet. And when he did, some men came. Not all the men, some men came. And then Gideon went and got more men. I believe that there will be a group of people that this year will be the some men. I believe that we will grab a hold as a child of God that says, you know what, God, I hear what you're saying spiritually this year. I hear what you're calling me to do and to walk into spiritually this year. And because of that, there's going to be some of us that are the some men. Now, I think as we get into this year and as God begins to do what His Word says He's going to do, He's going to move us into places of inheritance and blessings that a lot of people are going to say, hey, I want to be on board. I want to be on board. But do you remember what God did? He sent all of them back. You know why? Because they were not trained for war. They didn't drink right. They didn't step right. They didn't keep their eyes right. They didn't utilize that training season to be prepared for that battle that was about to happen, that God needed mighty men and women, warriors, to be able to win. They needed faith. And a lot of those men went back because they were filled with fear. God wants to, in this training season, to take us to that other side, to fill us with such faith, and to train our hands for war. So tonight, my hope is that God is going to spiritually sound a trumpet in your spirit that you're going to say, all right, God, I get it. I get it. We're going somewhere. I get it. We're walking somewhere this year. It's been declared out of so many mouths that this is a year that I, the church, your people are going to the other side. And I'm not going to be like everyone else that got left behind. I'm going to let God train me in this season to be able to teach me what I need to know so that when I am walking, I am defeating the enemy as he comes against me. Because anytime you get ready to move, the enemy is going to oppose you. How many of you have ever found that out? He's okay with you sitting there not moving. He is. If you are sitting there and you're not even trying to advance, the enemy usually does not harass us. But as soon as you get up and you get ready to go somewhere, you're going to find out how much the enemy hates you because he wants to oppose where God is telling you to go. There was a constant tribe that in the Old Testament, that every time the children of Israel would get ready to move and relocate somewhere or to walk into something or to do what God told them to do, that this tribe would come and it would resist and it would oppose their advancement. Amalekites. This is called the Amalekites. And what this, and what I love about the Amalekites, well, I don't love it, but what I've noticed throughout the Word is the Amalekites is, anytime you see some other tribe or some other nation that's coming to oppose Israel, anytime you saw them, there would be that little name right beside it. It would say the Amalekites or Melech or Amalek. Because the truth is, this spirit right here, this spirit is birthed to oppose the children of God from moving into what God has called them to move into. Let me tell you some things about this. It says if you look up the name Amalek, which is where this word came from, it means one who licks up or one who devours the inheritance and the things of God. The Amalekites were before Esau, but after Esau and Jacob parted, Esau had sons. And one of Esau's sons' name was Amalek. And he became the leader of the Amalekites. Now, I want you to go back and think back. Remember what happened between Esau and Jacob? Do you remember Esau sold his birthright to Jacob? For what? For food. How fleshly could you be to give up something that had such an amazing inheritance in it over being hungry? And I'm going to tell you, I've been hungry. I like food. I do. But if we live so much in the flesh that we can't understand the spiritual significance in what we have in Christ, and that we can allow our flesh, to come in and to cause us to lose things that God has given us, then we're way too fleshly. And that's a lot of where the spirit comes in and begins to attack us. Because here's what that spirit believes. That spirit believes what is yours is actually his. Everybody know the devil was in heaven, right? And he was sent down to earth. Do you know that he hates that you are God's inheritance? He hates it. So anytime the children of God want to get up and move somewhere, or anytime God is calling you to advance somewhere, there are so many wicked spirits that are purposed on keeping you from inheriting anything that God has for you, especially this spirit of the Amalekite. Because here's what its thought is. That's not yours, that's mine. That's not yours, that's mine. But let me tell you something. It's yours. It's yours. Everything God has ever promised you is your inheritance. It is yours for the taking. God has promised. How many of you has God promised you some crazy things in your life? I'm going to tell you, God has promised me some crazy things. He's told me some things that if I told you, I would be embarrassed to tell you. Just some personal things. But I'm going to tell you, God's word is true. God's word is true. And just because there are spirits set up and in a place and their desire is to oppose you, don't let that scare you. Just know the tactics of the enemy and be prepared to keep on moving. Because this is a year God has declared, we will go to the other side. The spirit of the Amalekite is an enemy you must vanquish for the coming generation to experience peace and victory. Because if you fail to conquer or subdue these enemies in your days, their wickedness and their cruelty will continue in the days of your children. How do we know that? Because the Bible says that. The Bible says, God said that I cause you to defeat the Amalekites from generation to generation. And here's what we see in that spirit. That spirit would attack one generation, and then it would come and it would attack another generation. So the nature of this spirit is to attack you, and if you don't defeat it, it is to come and attack your kids and attack your grandkids, and it's going to keep on pushing you back to where you are so far from what God ever desired for your generation to live in. God has incredible plans for His people. And this is a year of us going somewhere in Christ. This is a year, a pivotal year of movement into a new place, into a new a season. This is a year for us to possess some lands. God has said that. But this is going to be contingent on how we handle the spirits that come against us to oppress us and to oppose us along our travels. This wicked spirit from the enemy of darkness is geared to fight men and his seed, terrorizing and employing diverse evil ploys to stop their generation from possessing the promises of God. How many of you have ever had a spiritual knowing? I mean, something is fighting me from possessing these promises. How many of you ever felt that in the spirit? That's called spiritual warfare. We fight with the enemy, but I'm going to tell you, he fights with us back. His desire is for us never to move into the promises that God has for us. And the way he works and operates in is that he will move into our life and he will cause us to move into the flesh. Because when we move into the flesh, my mom says it all the time, we lose the battle. When we move into the flesh, we lose the battle. So if he can come in and if he can oppose us in such a way that it causes us to get into the flesh and not the spirit, he has won that battle. So this is a year that we're going to have to become spiritual warriors. We're going to have to allow God to train us in a significant way that we become spiritually strong where the enemy might think we're spiritually weak. Where he has tried time and time again to come after us, and it has worked. I want everybody to say with me, this is a year it will not work. This is a year that he will not get me into his side. This is a year that God wants to move you somewhere, and you're going to have to be determined that opposition of the enemy will not stop me this year. Because this is a strategic year. What his job is to stop you from being able to walk into your promises and your inheritance. Its purpose in your life is to oppose you, and it's also to harass you. How many of you have fought that harassing spirit this year? Oh, it's a harassing. It's just, he makes everything difficult. He just makes it as long and as tedious as it can possibly be to delay you from God fulfilling what God has promised you this year. The Amalekite spirit's job is to come in and to cause the opposition to be so great and so delaying and so wearying that we either start complaining, like the children of Israel did, or we get impatient, like Saul did, or that we get in the flesh and we get mad, like Moses did, and that we move out of our inheritance by our own flesh. But this is a year that we are going to let God train our hands for war, right? We're going to learn to fight in the Spirit. God has told us this year that we're going to the other side. This is what God declared about the Amalekites. In 1 Samuel 15, he said, "This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies has declared. I have decided to settle an account with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel." You need to know that this Spirit's job, this Spirit's function, the whole thing that makes this Spirit work is to oppose you. So when you get ready to move into what God has called you, there's going to be something sent, something demonic, something that is not of this world, that is a spiritual nature of the enemy that comes against you to oppose you. But here's what God said. "Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation." Now, this is the commandment that God gave to Saul. And when God gave this to Saul, what we know is that Saul did not completely destroy this nation. And because he did not destroy his nation, Saul lost his destiny. He lost what God had been trying to train him for. He lost what God had been putting him and positioning him and preparing him for. Because he did not go and destroy all of it, Saul was not able to step into the other side. I'm going to tell you, church, this year is a year that we have got to determine in our hearts we are going to destroy the spirits that have tried to oppose us in the past. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, because if you don't, it could this year put you on another cycle back around to where God is sending you back to be retrained. But I'm going to tell you, God wants to train your hands for war this year. I've never seen this church in such a position of being fed from God. And the words that come out of this church to me are such life. How many of you agree with that? Man, God is prophetically speaking to His church. He is leading and guiding His people. If you don't get in alignment with God's word, the problem is not God. The problem is your alignment. It's where you have allowed the enemy to move you out of what God is saying to you so it can go into you and create what it needs to create for you this year. See, with Saul, he had such fear and such lust that he could not fulfill what God had told him to do. But you know, earlier on, it was impatience. Remember, God gave Saul a second chance. Remember, Saul became so impatient that he could not wait. I'm going to tell you, one thing about this year, God has told me all year, as we've moved, He's just saying, "Wait on me." How many of you have felt that this year? How many times has God said, "You know what? And I love, this is one of my favorite statements. Mary Forsythe said this last year. She said, "The devil pushes, but God leads." I'm going to tell you, if you ever feel like something is pushing you and you feel like it is something that's trying to move you too fast, that's not God. God don't push. God leads. And there is a peace. I've done a lot of things that I didn't think I'd ever do. And I'm just going to tell you, the only way I knew I could do them was because I had a peace to do it. I don't know why. It makes no sense. I'm not prepared. God, there's no way it's me. But there was a peace in knowing God was leading me into something. I know all of you have experienced that. So this year, if the enemy is pushing you, spiritually recognize he's trying to get you out of alignment with you going to the other side this year. He's trying to get you to move out of faith into fear and to act out on yourself because you cannot do what God wants to do in you this year. I promise you that. This is a year where God is going to position us and then it's going to be completely on God to do the impossible. God cannot move. We cannot move ourselves from one position to another spiritually. Do you know that? But man, God can. God can move us from one place to another and position our feet on such a solid rock there and cause everything in our lives to be fruitful. But if we try to do it, it never goes that way. If we try to do it, we lose things all along the way. We get opposed by the enemy. We get there, we're barely alive, and nothing we try to produce prospers. That's what the flesh does. The flesh does not bear God's fruit. But if you do things in obedience to God, God will cause you to move into a position, and He'll cause everything that you do to prosper. And that's this year. This year, we are going to that side. Let me go back to work. All right, what this spirit wants to do is wants to move you into the flesh. This is exactly what that spirit did with the children of Israel. It would resist them coming, and when it resisted them, they would immediately start griping and complaining. They would immediately start getting into fear. I'm going to tell you, that's what I feel like is so important today for you to understand. You're going to the other side. You are going to the other side. The only thing that can keep you from going to the other side is you. The enemy has no power over you, so when he comes to oppose you, keeping your heart tuned in to God, this is just the opposition of the enemy. I will not allow it to move me into fear. I'm going to stand here strong, and I'm going to wait for you to move this water if you have to. Whatever you need to do, you will do. And I will not move into the flesh. Because that's exactly what the enemy is trying to do. Now I'm going to tell you, the enemy did this in the Old Testament, but he did it in the New Testament too. Do you know that when Jesus came and he told all the new church, the early church, he said, go out and spread the gospel. Remember that? Go out and tell everyone about me. He gave them this command. You know what he was saying? Go to the other side. He was giving them this place, this direction to move out and to go and be prosperous. But do you know immediately what happened to all of them? The enemy opposed. There was such an opposition. Anytime you get ready to advance, and I want everybody to say, this is my advancement year. Anytime you get ready to advance, just know the enemy is going to oppose you. And exactly that's what happened with the early church. Paul, and I love Paul because he's very honest in his writing. He's very true to what he feels and thinks in his writing. See, Paul had opposition everywhere he went. He had just become accustomed to it. He knew that's the way it was going to be. Paul knew that the enemy was going to oppose him. But you know what he did? He never let it get him. He would honestly, and I'm amazed because he was such a strong character, a strong personality. He would say, you know what? I can tell the enemy is trying to keep me from going to Jerusalem. I can tell the enemy, but it didn't fluster him. He didn't get all holy, you know, and start doing a Christian dance and start stomping his feet like a lot of us like to do. He didn't do that. You know what he did? He just waited on God. He just had a patience and a peace in waiting on God. Paul said this about a group of a church. There was a church, and a man was opposing him. And it was so faithful of God, because this is what God would do. God exposed the opposition, was the enemy. And that church was so mad at that man, they were wanting to kick him out. And Paul told him, he said, you know what? Forgive him. You forgive him, I forgive him. Forgive him. He said, because lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Here's what Paul was saying. He's saying, we're in war. Understand, church, we're in war. And he's saying the enemy is trying to move in and oppose us all along the way. Quit taking it personal between people and get yourself into a place in your spirit where you understand things in a spiritual way that you understand you're going to have opposition this year. I've seen so many people get so excited on the bandwagon. Oh, we're going to the other side. Oh, we're going to the other side. And I'm going to tell you, in your heart, you need to know that. But also in your spirit, you need to understand that there are wars to be waged when we move. There are wars to be waged when we move. Anytime God starts to advance you, the enemy is going to oppose you. Now, will he win? No. No, he will not. But you've got to know, just as assured as you are, that God is going to take me to the other side. And that the enemy is going to try to keep me from going to the other side. So here's what Paul was saying. He was saying, don't let Satan get an advantage over us by causing us to see this as anything but opposition against our advancement. He was saying, see what this is. See, this is a strategic attack of the enemy to keep us from keeping on going. And you know what he said? Let's just keep on going. Let's forgiving. Let's see what this is spiritually and let's keep on going. Last year, this is so true. Last year, and I'm going to tell you, the enemy will use anything to oppose you. He will use everything to oppose you. Last year, my house got hit by lightning twice. Has anybody else's house ever been hit by lightning in here? No, I don't find out that happens to anybody else. Mike had cut all the trees, made sure, because we had had that happen years, like 10 years ago, well, about 7 years ago. And we had a zip line that went from a tree to our house, to another tree, and it had a limb. And about 7 years ago, lightning hit that tree, and it followed all the way down that zip line, and it attached that tree, and it hit my house, and so it blew out one of our old TVs that we had. So this year, nothing was touching the house. My husband's very particular about that. And so our house got hit by lightning. Every TV in my house, it blew up with surge protectors on it. Each one of them had surge protectors. So I had five TVs go out at one time. So we did the work. My husband, as we have found out, is a wonderful TV technician. And we bought all the parts, and it cost a lot of money, and he fixed every TV we had, and we got them all back up. We love our TV. We're really holy like that. We love our shows. And about 3 weeks later, this is no lie, lightning came down and hit my house again. Burned out every TV, but no. My DVD player, my DVD burner, my stove, my microwave, my dishwasher, not my dryer. Every appliance in my house, it burned up. When it happened, I was so mad. I was like, what? But I'm going to tell you, this scripture came to me right here. I was sitting in my living room. I came in. We realized what happened. We had bought all new surge protectors. It made no sense. And God said, do not let the enemy get you. Do not be ignorant of his devices. Instantly, that scripture came to me. I'm going to tell you, the enemy is going to do anything he can to harass you this year. He's going to do anything he can to oppose you this year. He's going to try to make you lose faith. He's going to try to make you gripe and complain. I would walk by my kids for the next month and a half, and we didn't have TV, and I would say, you know what? We don't gripe. We're thankful. We don't gripe. We're thankful. We believe that God will absolutely protect and keep us. But let me tell you, when the enemy opposes you, you have a responsibility to do. Do you know what that is? Be thankful. To praise God. To not move into a place of griping and complaining. Because let me tell you, when you gripe and complain, you lose your inheritance. You move into the flesh, and it seems so easy just to grumble. I'm getting into next week's sermon, so I'm going to stop right there. I want you to know, it is so easy to move into the flesh. It's natural. How many of you agree? The flesh is natural. It is an easy thing to do. It takes a fight to handle things in the Spirit. It takes a fight to handle things in the Spirit. Let me tell you how Paul explained this to us. He said, man, I am hard-pressed on every side. How many of you know that? You've been hard-pressed on every side. But he said, I am not crushed. The enemy will hard-press you on every side. But something I'm going to tell you that he cannot do, he cannot crush you. If you are the children of God, if you are in alignment with God's Word, he will hard-press you on every side, but he cannot crush you. Because there is a strategic place God wants you to go this year. And the enemy is terrified of what that means to his kingdom. Paul said, I am perplexed, but I am not in despair. I have been so perplexed over God this year. I'm just going to tell you, God moves in ways beyond my mind. I have to just come to agreement that my mind is not his mind. All the time I'm standing back there saying, God, there is nothing I can see that you could possibly do. But you know what? I'm perplexed, but I am not in despair. But here's my next statement. Because God, you do the impossible. So no matter how perplexing your situation looks, no matter how difficult or how twisted up or how unconventional or how opposite of what the truth of God is, you can be perplexed, but never be in despair. Because when the children of Israel were coming away from Egypt, who started chasing them? Do you know? The Egyptians. The Egyptians started chasing them. Can you imagine how perplexing that was for them? God told us to leave, and now they're chasing us. God told us to leave, and now they're chasing us. Then this big cloud, this big, beautiful cloud that shone them light, that gave them direction. Do you know what that cloud did to the enemy? The Bible says that the cloud that gave them light, it darkened the enemy's way so that the enemy had no idea where to go. Because here's what God was doing. God was moving the children of Israel into a position to where when he said, now, the enemy was destroyed. You've got to know that in your life this year, that God might allow you to be backed up against a sea and a cloud behind you, and you are so perplexed because you have no idea how God is going to supernaturally change your family, change your job, change your relationships, change your destiny, change your position. God, I've been here, I've been faithful. There is nothing I can see that can change. We can be perplexed. But church, if you get in despair, you're in the flesh. Because let me tell you one thing, God has promised you he will part those seas if he needs to. Whatever God has to do to get you into perfect alignment with the hand of God coming down and blessing you and destroying your enemies, God is going to do it. So in your heart, what I'm wanting to encourage you, I want to strengthen you is God is going to take you to the other side. Without a doubt, God is going to take you to the other side. But the enemy is going to oppose you. So I want to leave you with this that Paul said. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, yet we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. I'm going to tell you, Joseph in the Bible, at 17 years old, God gave Joseph a promise. He gave him a dream. He said, Joseph, one day your brothers are going to bow down to you. He told Joseph, one day, your mother and your father, they're going to bow down to you. There's going to be a place of honor in your life that everybody you're connected with will see it. But let me ask you, did it go that way for Joseph? For a long time, you know what Joseph was? Joseph was hard pressed on every side, yet it did not crush him. He was perplexed. Could you imagine? God, all right, he's sitting in the bottom of this pit. God, you said that they're going to, but do you see where I'm at? He was sold by his brothers in slavery. He was a slave. God, you said, but do you see where I'm at? I can't imagine the perplexing thoughts that had to go through Joseph's head. But I'm going to tell you, if Joseph would have believed the despairing thoughts that the enemy was trying to tell him, that promise would not have come true. As much as Joseph's promises from God was true, the enemy opposed Joseph that hard. Because Joseph's life continued with persecution, with being struck down. But there came a day in Joseph's life where God said, Joseph, in one day I'm lifting you up. In one day. Now, do you believe that Joseph could have seen any way for that to happen? He was in the prison. He was in the prison of the king. He was in the lowest of the lowest of the lowest places. I'm going to tell you, in our lives, there are areas of going to the other side that for us to believe that God could take us there and do something miraculous in us, it's impossible. It's impossible. But I want to encourage you tonight, just like Joseph held on to that promise, God, you told me, you confirmed to me, you spoke to me, and you told me I was going somewhere. I'm going to tell you the truth, church, this year, God is taking you somewhere. He is taking you to an inheritance that this year he wants to open up for you. But one thing, you have to choose to believe it regardless of what you say. Choose to believe it regardless of what is said. Choose to believe it regardless of what comes against you. Because just like Joseph, he was hard-pressed, he was perplexed, he was persecuted, and he was struck down. But when God said, today is the day, nothing in hell could keep that from being the day. Nothing in hell can keep it from being your day. When this year, I'm going to tell you, it don't seem like it could be this year, but you wait till we get to the end of this year. I was telling God that yesterday. God, it doesn't matter what you have to do. My faith will not waver. If we believe the words of the Lord, do you know that He will do them? If you believe the promises that God has spoken to you, He will do them. If you will align yourself with what God is doing in your life this year. Now, next week, we're going to really get into the good part. Next week, we're going to get into the things that we allow in our life that keep us from being trained for war. How many of you know that the enemy is going to try very hard to get us to hand over our inheritance? Just like Esau did. The enemy wants to get us into such a place where we hand over our inheritance, but not this year. I want you to say that with me. Not this year.
Not this year.
Not this year. I'm going to step into things this year that God has aligned for me this year. You're going to step into things that God has aligned for you this year. And God's going to give you the grace. And He's going to give you the strength. And He's going to give you the miracles. Let me tell you, God is a man of war. God knows how to strategize war in ways we could never imagine. But it's going to be contingent on if you will believe. If you will believe. Well, everybody just close your eyes just for a second. I just want to pray a prayer of faith. Father, right now, Lord, I thank You and I praise You, Lord. I know You have been such a faithful God to this church. I know You've been so faithful to every person in here. Lord, I thank You that You have spoken Your word. You have planted seeds of faith. Father God, You have brought us up to a place in our life to where all we are doing is waiting on You. But Father God, that is the best place to be. The best place to be is standing in faith and waiting on You. Because one thing about You is You never fail. You are faithful to the end. And I thank You that this year, that as we walk into this war, this spiritual war, this possessing of our land, this stepping over to the other side, that You are a God who is going to supernaturally give us everything that we need to be able to believe for the impossible. Lord, I thank You that You created Your children to be mighty on this earth. We are not just chance. We are not mistakes. We are mighty children of God on the earth. Thank You for not letting us go throughout life without being trained. Thank You for being a faithful God to train us. So we don't have to every time want You come in and rescue us. You're going to teach us how to war in the Spirit. You're going to teach us how to fight back the enemy. You're going to teach us how to step across lines that our generations have never stepped across before. Thank You, Father, that this is a year that we are going to the other side. I want you to agree with me. Say, I am going to the other side. And I will not move in the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.